What a great start to this race. He's in the middle of a Coca-Cola sandwich at the moment. A fantastic drive this afternoon. Brody Kostecki takes the checkered flag. It's another rock-solid run by this young man.
It's been a very big weekend here in Melbourne. The Albert Park Grand Prix circuit under sunshine right now on race day Sunday. Four supercars races complete. And g'day, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Shit Cool Down Lap. Chad Nailon and James Pavey here to wrap up all the action. We're at the back of the garages, off the back of the Bow Repairs Melbourne Super Sprint. And g'day, Paves.
G'day, mate. Four big days. We're done. But holy smokes, what a 4 days of racing.
What a huge 4 days of racing when I think about it. There's just so many storylines to cover off. The big number here, though, Brody Kostecki's walked away with the Larry Perkins Trophy in a weekend for him to remember.
Well, Brody was quick from Newcastle, wasn't he? That pole on that podium by virtue of disqualification. But you could just see when he spoke to Barry Ryan, their team boss in Newcastle, there was a bit of a glint in their eye. They knew they had more coming. Wow. The championship lead, the first time by an Erebus driver in history. That's pretty impressive. But like you said, the Perkins Trophy too.
All right, well, let's go for a little bit of a wander. We're at the back of the Cool Drive team at the moment. And this is one team that managed to stay relatively out of trouble throughout the course of the week. And, of course, there was lots to talk about in terms of some big incidents across the course of the weekend. Some drivers finding themselves in the barriers or issues in pit lane. Of course, the fires. We'll try and cover off as much as we can as we go up and down pit lane. I can see Tim Blanchard out the front, so why don't we go for a bit of a wander through the Blanchard Racing team. I have seen Aaron Love getting around as well, who's their Dunlop Series driver. And we'll get a word with the team boss down here, because this is one car, James, looking at it from where we're next to it, that has not got a scratch on it, maybe the tiniest little buffer mark down on the front splitter.
I'm long said this is one of the best liveries on the grid, but it looks very clean, but today...
Because it's paint. The fact that it's paint on this
beautiful
car.
Beautiful blue. Timmy, Todd, P9 today, how's that feel?
A relief, to be honest. We've had a pretty average weekend, so to end on a bit of a high is always good. I just thought Chad was about to jump in and help us fix it.
You don't want me fixing anything, man. I have not got that gift, unfortunately. Maybe you could teach me.
It could be worse. Could be me trying to fix it. So
you could drive and fix things and run a business, mate. Good start for this guy in his new home here. That is a magnificent looking car. I can see Aaron Love over there as well. Looking forward to seeing Dunlop Series action back. How do you reckon Aaron's going to get on now that he's got one round under his belt?
Yeah, it wasn't an ideal run in for him, but yeah, we kind of finished on a little high there. Newcastle with him in second. He's had a busy weekend this weekend with the Petronas, so they've been running him around everywhere with all the Formula One guys here in town. So he's had a fun weekend. But yeah, he's really excited, pumped to get back in the car and go to Perth, his home race, hometown, and race in front of all his friends and family.
Me too, as a matter of fact. Thank you, mate. We'll let you get back to showing some friends and family around the pit area. So Cool Drive bringing that beautiful Mustang back in one piece. Aaron Love standing down on the left-hand side. He has been hanging out with George Russell this week in those Petronas, as we can hear Formula 2 cars buzzing around in the background. He has been hanging out with, both the Mercedes drivers, but in particular George Russell this week. So pretty cool experience for Aaron Love to be mixing it with the Formula 1 stars. And it's just one of the cool things about this event, hey, James, is the fact that you can walk around the Melbourne Walks just over there, Formula 1 drivers, you see them everywhere here.
Yeah, we'll see the Perth Super Sprint, Super 2's back in action. So Aaron had a really impressive first round in Newcastle, got a podium in the second race, so those guys have got some real form ahead.
Out the back right now behind the Newlon Racing garages, I can see James Golding having a chat to some family members at the moment. And this team, another weekend where they've certainly showed some promise. Highlight for me, watching that wet qualifying session on Saturday morning and watching the sheer car control of James Golding sliding it around almost every single corner. Just absolute gift of car control.
What I like about this team is that while the results are slowly coming, the car speed's there for these guys. 15th and 16th in today's race, but we can see Jimmy Golding here and Tim as well. The speed in these cars, it's a very smart team, but my highlight for these guys this weekend started with the low light. Obviously, Tim had that accident in practice one, and it was really stressful, to be honest, if these guys would get out at all. But I was in the garage when Tim's car was repaired, and there was a big applause from the team when they got that car out for the race, and he finished the race, and there's this momentum here, but they will be rewarded at some stage.
All right, let's see if we can find Matty Cook, the team principal. He's always got a smile on his face. Shit Cool Down Lap, coming at you, podcast style.
Sure, you're coming.
Exactly. And then put a smile on your face, which is nice. Thank you for that. We were just talking at the back of what a great effort. It feels like a lifetime ago, but to fix Tim Slade's car after practice one. What did you learn from that whole experience, piecing one of these things back together?
Obviously at that stage on Thursday, that's probably the hardest any of these new generation cars have hit the fence. So there was a lot that broke of it. There's some things that we thought were a little bit stronger than they weren't. So we sort of have to treat these things with kid gloves. You know, it's almost like we've got to train the drivers to drive them a little bit differently. So they don't really like a lot of heavy impact. We learned that. Yeah, what was very strong on the older frame and chassis is not so true on this one. So I think, yeah, we need to put some more procedures in place to have some more jigs and things like that. So when they do have a big crash, you don't have to initially take a whole rear clip off. You can possibly repair the one that we've got now and save yourself sort of 4 or 5 hours worth of work.
After the really good weekend that you guys had in Newcastle, how would you rate this one?
It's tough, you know. Like, I think it was a tough weekend overall, but the one thing we still had was car pace. But unfortunately, we you know, obviously with Tim, we didn't make any qualifying sessions, so he started from the back. But every race he was in, he passed nearly 10 cars. So the speed was there. We just couldn't show it because we started so far down the back. And we had a bit of a... Jimmy missed out on a quick brand new tyre run on a super soft tyre, and that caught us out in quali as well. So if we had started further up the front, it's everyone's story for the weekend, but if we had started further up the front, we still had the car pace there, we just didn't maximise on it.
Thank you very much for the chat. See you guys very soon when we get over to the Wild West. But the key thing there, the big takeout, is the P word, pace, for this team is still there. You can get around the rest of the problems, Paves, but if you're not fast, you're never going to be going anywhere. So they do have speed, and that is the good news from Newlon Racing.
We're down here at Matt Stone Racing, and a turbulent weekend for these guys as well, but Jack LeBrock, very impressive, fifth today. Top five supercars. Don't worry about the race length, where we are. Yeah. Top fives are hard to come by. But top tens were his mode for the weekend as well, but an unfortunate end to their race with the Cameron Hill side of the garage. It was a sort of a coming together in a way with Declan Fraser, and I think it was turn 11, and unfortunately came into that race in the gravel. So
yes, I can see him, as a matter of fact, so we might just get his little personal details on that one. Sneaking up behind him. Hey guys, shit, cooldown lap. I don't think we've had Cam Hill on the cooldown lap before, so this is exciting.
Welcome, mate.
Welcome to the cooldown lap podcasting.
No,
exciting. Exciting indeed.
Don't have to pull my suit up.
No, exactly. No. You've won here in Porsches before. How did you find your first weekend here in supercars?
It was challenging, you know. It was the track was pretty slick on Thursday, and obviously it did improve, but then we had weather and two different compounds. Yeah, there was a lot going on.
Cam, that last race didn't end for you the way you would have wanted. Can you sort of describe what happened?
Look, we lost a bit of time in our stop, unfortunately. The boys have been nailing all the stops all weekend, so you know, it was a shame that we lost a bit of time in that last one. And so I was trying to make a move on the last lap, try to recover. Didn't pull it off, but, you know, I can put my hand up and still call the rookie card. So I'll use that one today.
How many of those do you get in a year, by the way?
I don't know. What's the usual?
One around.
Yeah.
A mulligan.
I'll get one around, please.
All right, mate. Best of luck for the rest of what's to come. Good to see you again. Always got a big smile in his face, Cam Hill, and still enjoying his rookie year, two events in. See Jack LeBrock having a chat to the team. We'll move a little bit further down the order here and swing past Brad Jones Racing. I stopped by BJR last night at about 9 p.m. Saturday night just to see how things were going, because it was a busy pit lane late last night with all the chaos that had been going on. And they were still busy working on the Pete's Hut car because Macaulay Jones had been put into the fence at turn 5, so they had a little bit of work to do. I can see Dave Reynolds walking past. I'm just going to quickly duck off here and get Penrite Racing Dave Reynolds. Shit, cool down that, brother.
What's up?
I want to ask you what's up. So what's up?
I'm just going to my trailer to get changed and...
Watch Formula 1?
Watch Formula 1. I might go home to watch it, though. It's better on TV.
Yeah, you get a more of a feeling as to what's going on. Your weekend, had a couple of rough moments. You're shaking your head at me.
I've had one of the most tortured weekends of my life. Someone doesn't like me up there. But he liked me today, which is kind of weird, but...
Yeah. Where did you place in that one, then?
Oh, I started dead last. Hey, Aaron. I started dead last, and I finished eighth, so...
Wow, yeah, that's...
16 positions in one race in 13 laps. How'd you do that?
Just pure skill. No, actually, no skill whatsoever. I passed maybe five cars on track, but the rest was done in the pit stop. So, you know, we went hard, then soft tyre, so, you know, we were one of the early ones to pit. You know, cracking pit stop by the boys. Picked up a couple there, picked up some on the track, and most were done on strategy, so... Yeah, at the start of the day, if I finish in the top 10, I've done an unbelievable somewhere. Something unbelievable has happened to me for once. But, you know, to finish 8th is even more unbelievable. So, can't believe my luck today. But it had to return because the start of the weekend was so bad, so much unlucky, you know, in qualifying.
Did you see a black cat or something?
I used to have a black cat that died in 2007, so little zippy.
You won Career Cup that year, didn't you?
Yeah, I know, but then like a lot of bad things happen after that. So
fair enough.
You know, it's funny. My life's always up and down. It's never like up, 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 up. You know, it's I don't understand it, but it's the universe and it knows what it wants for me.
Fair enough. When are we expecting number two to arrive, mate? Is it on the horizon?
Well, yeah, anytime soon. So I'm going to go ring, make sure she's not in labour. But she's 39 weeks pregnant. So, yeah. You know, my last son was born at 38 weeks. So we're kind of in overtime at the minute. In her body language, but
that's actually good timing. That could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What Anton pinching me in the ass timing, you mean? Or
exactly, that actually did just happen live. You know, take what you can get around here on Grand Prix weekend. Hey, mate, best luck for the arrival of number two, because I'm really excited for you about that.
Appreciate it, guys. See you later. Have a good day.
So all the best to Han, of course. He's a lovely partner. All right, let's dive in at Brad Jones Racing. I'm walking through a sea of Middies data and electrical shirts. Mm. The Pink Brigade is out because Bryce Ford has been absolutely...
Here he is.
He's a bit of jet this weekend. Here he is. Let's go get him, hey. How would you describe Bryce's weekend?
Fast, but unrewarded.
Fast and unrewarded. I think that is a very good way of putting it.
This is Bryce's fourth full-time season. That's his best weekend in a supercar without the results, because let's think about the first two qualifying sessions of the weekend. Didn't go to plan. The two races, he made 13 spots twice.
Yeah,
in short races. And then obviously yesterday the unsafe release, today the unsafe release, but the speed was there. Just an extraordinary weekend, but unfortunately no results to show for it, but he'll be confident, I'm sure.
Let's see if he's up for a quick chat. He's saying hello to a few of the sponsors that are coming in to say g'day, a few people shaking his hand. I'm going to see if we can quickly dive in, and he's going to get a photo in a minute here, but you're going to get a photo with Bryce? I'll stand back while Bryce takes a photo with the fans. Everyone wants a photo with Bryce right now because he's a bit of a legend.
One of the fastest cars all weekend. Has to be, yeah.
And so many guys.
I spoke to his engineer, Phil, yesterday, and they were quietly confident, but it's been rewarded today. Bryce, I mean, so fast, man, but the results, unfortunately, didn't go your way, but you must be so confident with the speed you had.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think... coming into this weekend, if someone had said this is what your weekend can look like but you can't convert the races, I probably still would have taken it, to be honest, after what I've dealt with for the last little while. So it would have been really cool to you know, I suppose keep the name there after we earned it on track. But I think if there's a massive positive out of the weekend is it's, you know, we earned it, we didn't fluke it whatsoever, and, you know, led the race and raced with some pretty cool dudes up the front and and earned it, so that was cool.
I spoke to your engineer, Phil, yesterday, and he said you had a bit of a reset over Christmas. Can you sort of detail what that was? Because it's clearly paying dividends.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a certain point where, you know, you've been doing it a few years now and you do the same sort of thing and it doesn't quite work, so you've got to change some things up. So, yeah, I had a pretty busy off-season doing lots of different bits and pieces, just trying to, not a whole lot of actual driving, just kind of working on myself. I think Phil and I are a lot better aligned coming into this year, and we have a lot clearer mind on where we're trying to go and what we're trying to do, and I feel like Phil's doing a really good job. The car's been pretty good, and it's just up to me to show what it can do.
Pit stops and these quick tyre changes that are going to be happening in the super sprint races, are you guys going to go away and look at what went wrong with those unsafe releases and what you guys might be able to change up for the next event?
I mean, it's really hard. I think this race is a little bit of a different kettle of fish in that everybody, like, if the soft tyre had have delaminated like we probably all expected it to this weekend, we wouldn't all be in pit lane on the same damn lap. That's where it becomes difficult, because no matter where you are in the lane or up and down the garage is order, you're going to come out and there's going to be a train of cars. And so you're trying to get into a gap that you can't really fit in. And if you don't, you lose the race. Like, it's as simple as that. And so, unfortunately, yesterday, Nobby, our car controller, told me to go, and I went and I hit a car, and today he told me not to go and I went and I hit a car. So it's not exactly to point the finger at anybody. I mean, I didn't realise, like, we can't see a whole lot out of these cars, and I could see a car coming down the lane, but I didn't realise it was Frosty, and I didn't realise he was going to turn in front of me into his box. So I left with enough time to slot in behind him down into pit lane, but obviously he was turning in front of me and I couldn't see he was turning in front of me. So it's a real shame, but at the same time, you know, I think we've had a pretty good weekend. It certainly doesn't define our weekend. We're on a fair high. Car's been fast and it's been good fun.
Well said.
Was it nice to hear that everyone was behind you as well? Like, everyone was like, oh, in that 15 second, both of them. It was like, no. It feels like all of pit lane was rooting for you yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been around a little while now, and I've battled for a while, you know, and I know a lot of people here, and, you know, I think at you know, deep down, everybody sees the effort that you put in, and sometimes for whatever reason, it just doesn't come to fruition. And so I think for it to all kind of happen for me a little bit this weekend and have a bit of speed, you know, it's, yeah, very thankful that everyone's cheering me on. Obviously not too many people hate me, otherwise they'd probably be throwing daggers at me, but they weren't, so that was pretty cool.
I don't know how anyone could hate this guy, mate. Well done. Thank you. We'll let you get back to saying good day to the fans and the sponsors out here. We sort of dive-bombed him a bit there, but well done to him. Brad Jones, I can see him standing at the back here. I do want to quickly get Brad because, one, he's a regular on the podcast, so we'll come through and quickly see if we can get him. Because Andre Heimgartner did sneak on the podium at the end there, so we'll quickly let him say goodbye to a few people and we'll see if we can sneak on in to say good day. Macaulay Jones is at the back here putting the helmet away, and the Pizza Hut car back in one piece today as well. Shit Cool Down Lap, favourite podcast, is happening right now, Brad, and you're on it once again. And happy birthday!
Exactly. We're going to sing, boys. We're going to sing.
Yeah, all together now.
No, we don't want any singing.
A nice podium for your birthday from Andre.
Absolutely. You know, great day, really. You know, having you know, all the cars so competitive is fantastic, especially on the Sunday here. So it was. It's a bit hard to watch. You know, we had alternate strategies like a lot of the teams, and so, you know, Bryce unfortunately took him a bit to get around Chaz and then get going again, and that just dropped him off the podium, and he just touched the back of Winterbottom on the way into the pits and got that penalty. But really good signs. You know, the cars are fast, and, you know, I'm looking forward to Perth.
Brad, I mean, there's so many positives across all aspects of the team, because not only the speed was there, but the amount of effort to go into repair Macca's car overnight. I came in this morning, and everyone was just like, yeah, we're good, we're cruising, we're ready to go. And he finished 7th.
Yeah, I mean, really great result by the. I mean, our guys are so committed and do such a great job, and you know they just always achieve the amazing stuff that that we're renowned for. To be honest, and you know the pit stops are always on point, repairing the car. And there's a bit of work to be done to the cars to get them where we need to be, but you know, good decisions are being made by the sport as well. To you know that single file start. I mean, I know it's a rule, but that was, for me, a lot more sensible than a NASCAR-type start where someone would have ended up on the stones on the outside. So lots of good things happening in lots of areas. Back to the team, you know, they're just really, we're doing a good job. We struggle in qualifying, or we have, but I just feel like yesterday we just made that little step and we're in that front group, and then we could race there. We've had the pace, but now we're qualifying where we should.
Nice work. Andre's first podium as a dad as well. There's a nice little side note. Happy birthday, mate.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to putting that trophy in my car and going home.
You earned it. Well, well done. He's earned the Pizza Hut today. They're actually selling Pizza Hut at the track as well.
That's for dinner. Selling Pizza Hut for dinner. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. I know where the party's at later, after the Grand Prix a bit later today. Let's sneak around this way. Oh, we'll get out the back and keep walking down. And there's still so much more to cover. We are back very soon as well, because Paves are going to be asking you what you think our Schick Hydro three key moments are going to be here today. It's been an awfully big 4 days of motorsport. Stick around, there's still plenty more to come on the cooldown lap.
Experience a close shave and no more sensitive skin with Schick. Schick Hydro Sensitive with shock absorb technology helps to protect sensitive skin from irritation. Available at all major supermarkets.
All right, we're back. It is the Schick Cool Down podcast, and we're at the back right now of Team 18. And one of the local teams, and a team who has a lot to do with this event, because Charlie Schwerkholt and his Waverley Forklifts empire helped put this whole event together. So this is as home race as they can get, Paves.
And they were close to the front too. I had a good chat with Charlie, I think it was on Friday, and he's just so desperate to get Mark Winterbottom his first podium, and it looked like it was going to happen. Like, Frosty was in a really good position. I believe for yesterday's race started P5, but... Oh, sorry, that was Friday's race.
Yeah, my mind's jumbled. Sort of gone into one a little bit. Yeah, I know where you're going with this. Unfortunately, he had a couple where he's at the front of the field, and one of those is the one where Dave Reynolds got shoved off into the gravel.
That's the one.
That was one where he was a chance. And unfortunately, lap one yesterday, I think it was, he got put into the fence in the early stages of that one. That was called a racing incident with James Golding. So they had a bit of work to do. They got that car back on track, though. And still putting together a pretty good championship campaign for both their cars.
And similar story to Bryce Fullwood with fast cars but no luck.
Yep.
And obviously Frosty's one of the hardest races we've ever come across in our sports history. And he was pretty upset about what happened in yesterday's race. And the car was repaired all night. They finished it, I believe, at 3 or 4 a.m. And it looked amazing, but unfortunately he only came home 19th today after starting 11th. Scott Pye was 13th. So these guys will want more on track, I'm sure, but the speed's there.
All right, let's see if we can get a quick one off Scott Pye. Say g'day. Hey, mate, you're sitting in the sunshine on the podcast, Shit Cool Down Lap podcast. Just want to say g'day. Enjoying the sunshine?
I am, yeah. I was sitting at the data station. I saw the sun for the first time this weekend, thought I might as well sit in it.
Thoughts on the weekend?
Oh, next question. It was a tough one. I mean, yeah, it was obviously there's a few fast cars and they kind of just stayed at the pointy end, which was, obviously the Erebus cars really were standouts this weekend. And for the rest of us, we all had, I think, ups and downs and tough weekends, challenges. So the Fords on fire. We weren't quite as bad as that, but, you know, we struggled for pace across the weekend. The car felt okay, but we just didn't have the high-speed grip that some others seem to have. So a lot of, you know, things, you know, pit stop dramas and stuff like that kind of really hurt our weekend. So you don't want to say you're happy to see the back end of a weekend, but I'm looking forward to now regrouping and going to the next event with hopefully a bit better package.
It's also a big night for the mechanics too, because they put the DeWalt car back together. So we've seen a few of those rebuilds now, overnight builds, just this weekend alone. So I think the mechanics especially have earned themselves a day off.
100%. These guys are always the unsung heroes. I mean, we go home after a race, and especially this weekend, a 13-lap race is, so the credit is really to the teams and the effort they put in. And these cars we're seeing, they're a hell of a lot harder. Well, they just take longer to repair than the old car. I think that, you know, it's one thing that is standing out is just how long it takes to repair. But obviously yesterday was quite a big hit for Frosty. So, you know, we're really grateful we've got crews like this that are happy to, well, not necessarily happy to, but they always put in the effort and make sure that we're on track the next day if possible. And, you know, then they've got to go out and perform as well with pit stops. So it's a mammoth effort from them. But, yeah, that's, you know, as drivers, we're just fortunate to have people surrounding us like that that are willing to do that.
Well said. Appreciate the chat. Onwards and upwards.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoy.
Thanks, mate. All right. Scott Pye having a little bit of time in the sun out the back. It is actually glorious sunshine here. It's the best day.
Finally.
Oh, man. Wednesday, it was raining on setup day. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rain. It was freezing Friday and Saturday at the track, like genuinely Melbourne winter spec. And then we roll out on race day, Sunday, the day that sort of matters for the fans here, and it's glorious. So take them when you get them.
Well, we're in Melbourne today for the Grand Prix, and F1 is a massive party, but I think the biggest party of the weekend, it's going to be down here at Erebus Motorsport. What an extraordinary performance by these guys across one lap, across race, the driver performance. But what Barry Ryan, the team boss, said on the broadcast is they're also having a go as well. Will Brown was really battling hard with Chas Mostert.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work out, but man, these guys are putting on a real show this year and take it to the big teams.
Let's get you in there. Let's get the fans in there. Let's see if we can get a chat with the Larry Perkins Award winner. He's down at the front of his car getting some photos with some fans at the moment, and having a look around this car. What a great weekend it was for Coca-Cola Racing by Erebus. We'll get a quick word off the boss first. Sorry, it's an auto action. Sorry, guys. Yeah, we can chat to anyone. When's the next auto action coming out?
Comes out next Thursday, straight after after this event.
Perfect. There you go. There'll be lots to talk about. I was just going to say congratulations. Baz, well done, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thank you.
There you go. Handshake. We'll let you get back to chatting to auto action, but there you go. We'll see if we can chase down Brody, who's also having a chat to auto action, so we've timed this ethically at the moment.
It's a good thing it's busy in here. It's exactly. Awesome to see. And you know, for Brody, he's been around for, this is his third full-time season, same as Will, and the guys were always fast, but it's the level of performance that they're now extracting out of the cars, but also the team themselves. Minimal mistakes. But Brody's racecraft especially, and Will as well, obviously I said that Will didn't really go to plan with Chas, but Brody's pulling no punches. He never has.
Yep.
But man, what a performance. And he's a rightfully so championship leader.
Well, it might be a good time to dive into our Schick Hydro three key moments then. And I'm going to start us off on this one today, Paves. I'm going to take you all the way back to Thursday. Okay, so just cast your mind back a little bit. Formation lap, a little bit of showers around. And race control made the important decision that they're going to declare the race wet. And that set off a big key chain of events that some teams in pit lane were particularly attuned to. And one of those teams was Erebus. And they decided that, looking at the rule book, they could get away with changing just the two tyres instead of four, putting the super soft tyre back on, and ultimately netted them some pretty good race results. And that's my first of the three Schick Hydro three key moments, but I thought they nailed that strategy.
My second Schick Hydro moment, also on Thursday, Shane Van Gisbergen. I've seen centre stage. I like ballet movies sometimes, but that was a hell of a pirouette. Yes. At high speed, and the way that he managed to get away with it, call it luck, call it something else, I don't know, but he got so lucky there, and that could have been a really big prang, but he got away with it. Obviously the team had to repair it, They missed practice too, but the second part of this moment for me is the way they bounced back, and he won that race this afternoon. Very impressive.
I'm a big believer in that you create your own luck.
Exactly.
But certainly Shane had a little bit of that on his side throughout the course of the weekend. He finished fourth in one race and ultimately finished second as a result. It was that sort of weekend for Shane, one of those weekends where you walk away with the championship at the end of the year and you circle that event as well. We really maximised. I mean, he was starting mid-pack and driving up through the pack. We'll get back to Red Bull in a moment. For mine, I will circle the winner for our Schick Hydro three key moments. I'm going to go back to Friday. Now, the race was short, but that's not the key moment. That was actually quite unfortunate that it went time certain so soon. But there was a display of racing from turn four to turn six, where there were two nearly three wide, four and five deep, going through the most treacherous part of the racetrack almost through turn five, where we saw a lot of torn up race cars. Just that alone was proof of what these new cars are capable of when they're in wheel-to-wheel combat like that, around a Grand Prix circuit, no less, where these cars were going to have a pretty big question mark cast over them. And that racing, if that's what we're going to get served up when we race at Albert Park or we race anywhere, sign me up.
Two words, hyphenate them, world-class. Amazing entertainment.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. So well done to Coca-Cola Team Erebus, and they've walked away with the Larry Perkins Trophy. I'm going to see if I can quickly get Brody. He's hugging the mechanics right now. He's done a very good job. Hey, Brady, shit cool down, mate. We wanted to say well done to you because you've won a really cool trophy here, the Larry Perkins Trophy, mate. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. It was pretty surreal crossing the line today. You know, I was happy I got my race wins, yesterday and the day before, but obviously crossing the line third today, knowing that I was going to, you know, collect the Larry Perkins Trophy for the team was just absolutely unreal. I was pumped crossing the line, and, you know, that trophy means a lot to our team, with Barry's history with Larry, so... You know, it was fantastic to be able to give it to him, and he's not really an emotional person, but probably if he was behind closed doors, he probably would have had a sparkle.
So Larry's a bit of a legend, mate. It means so much to the team, but did he have any words for you?
Yeah, he just said really good job, and no idea who won the race because where he got stormed to give us a trophy, there was no TVs, so. He sort of had no idea who won the race, but he was sort of a bit surprised he was giving the trophy to me, but also. He was really happy as well, knowing that, you know, Barry's a part of it all. So, yeah.
I'll throw a cliche at you. It's round two, championship lead. Orange numbers is pretty cool, but do you think about it now at all?
I take one day as it comes. And I'm not really that sort of person that looks, you know, months or weeks down the track. I'd just take each race as it comes. And, you know, I went into this race knowing that, I start 14th and, you know, I've got a job to do to move forward. So, yeah, I made a mistake in qualifying, so... just had to capitalise on it. So, you know, we just played the strategy out well, and, also makes it easy too when, you know, you have a fast car.
All right, man. Enjoy the orange numbers. And how cool you get to go home back to WA and slap those on the car as well. So that's pretty cool, mate. So well done this weekend. And can you keep this going? Let's hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, all the signs are there. You know, we went to Newcastle bar the Sunday when, when we made a little error. But, we've had four more years, so there's no reason why we can't go to Perth and be fast. So... we got a lot of trophies this weekend, so the expectations are pretty high.
Actually, I'm just looking over there right now, and to see the mechanic chugging, and I mean chugging, champagne at that one last night on the podium, that was really cool. So well done, mate.
Thank you very much.
Good job by the crew down at Erebus. First time they've had the orange numbers on their cars. They did have, in Dunlop Series after round one last year, Jay Robotham, an image who's one of their junior drivers leading a championship. And they've been able to turn that into a Repco Supercars Championship lead as well. Walking past Penrite Racing, we of course chatted earlier to Dave Reynolds, and he highlighted the tough weekend that he had. Unfortunately, Matt Payne got a drive-through penalty yesterday for his involvement in an incident as well. So a tough weekend for the Grove team. No doubt they'll be ready to bounce back in WA. We cross across to Tickford. And it was unfortunately a weekend that was low-lighted by the big fire that we saw. I've just completely blazed past Walkinshaw and Andretti United, so apologies about that. Let's start with them before I get back on to talking about JC. Cool thing for Walkinshaw and Andretti United, we did see Chaz Mostert fighting in those top three spots nearly all weekend. Unfortunately, Nick Perkett had a similar issue to what James Courtney had, but it was cool to have the alliance here with the United part of Walkinshaw and Andretti United and Zach Brown being here this weekend.
Fantastic exposure, and I'm sure Chaz and Nick would have wanted to bring a few more results for the team. Chaz in that last race today was just battling for a bit of car speed and unfortunately just dropped like a stone when the super softs were going away from the car, and he came home 14th.
He did.
So he lost the championship lead today, but he's still very much in the fight.
All right, let's see if we can get Tommy Randall.
Tommy!
I'm going to chase him down here. I know you're ducking off out the back here real quick. We're on the cool down lap, and I wanted to say g'day. You've had a chance to go see some of your old buddies in the open wheeler paddock this weekend. How was your Grand Prix experience?
Yeah, g'day, Chad. We've just obviously wrapped up the weekend. Oh, the Grand Prix experience is awesome. I'm always the one heading over to Europe, whether it's to see Rob Wilson or when I race there and live in the UK. So for them to all come here, it's been awesome. I've caught up with old engineers, mechanics, and it's crazy to see. You know, they're in F2 now and F3, and I went on the grid just before for the start of the F2 race with my engineer Ray, and you know, I went and said good luck to about six drivers that, you know, I used to race against. So it's cool they remembered who I was. But some of their engineers and stuff. I mean, I got to actually have a couple of the F2 drivers on my sim earlier in the week. Frederick Vesti, who was the feature race winner in Jeddah their previous round, and also Richard Vachon. So cool to try and get them up to speed and hopefully have a good run. But it's always nice, you know, it's kind of like a mini Europe comes to town. And I mean, this is the first time we've had F2 and F3, but it's just great to reunite with people that I haven't seen for 5 or 6 years.
Agreed. Thank you, mate. I just wanted to say g'day and see how it's all going. So we'll catch you next one.
Oh, thank you.
Perfect.
Yeah. Tom Rattle. Ground, by the way.
Yeah. Seventh in the points. Can you detail what it was like? Because seventh in the points is nothing to sneeze at.
No, I mean, seventh in the points, the second forward. So, very solid round for us. I mean, Newcastle was not as kind. I think we certainly went back to the drawing board, you know, myself included, see what I can do better in the cockpit. And, I mean, obviously the new cars, so much to learn. And from a driver's point of view, you know, how differently I need to be driving these cars, and I need to be more finite with my inputs, whether that's the steering inputs, braking, throttle, all that sort of stuff, you know. And everyone's up and down the paddock is still learning so much. So to have four clean races, which probably sounds easy on paper, but after the chaos and carnage that was going on this weekend, really, I don't think we could have done much better with our races. I mean, Ray called the shots with the strategy, which were really good. I mean, I think maybe that last race, you know, in hindsight, might have been better to start hards, but I'm happy that we started softs because, I mean, I think, you know, we did it with every other race and it seemed to work out pretty well. So we'll see what happens in Perth in a couple of weeks' time.
Cool. See you. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, boys.
See you, buddy. Catch up. All right, that was cool. Yeah, I love the passion he's got for open wheel racing, and always so happy to have a chat about his time in Europe. And I actually got over to his sim place earlier this week. Man, it is so impressive. He's got the open wheel sim set up in one room. He's got the touring car sim next door. They both have movement. He, as an engineer, has designed all of that himself. He's a very, very smart guy, is Tom Randall. So cool to see him catching up with some of his old buddies this weekend. Right at the back of Shelby Power Racing. Nearly there at the end of the walk, and this is a team that has certainly found some speed here this weekend, which is really cool to see. Unlucky to not walk away with some trophies this weekend, because speed, in terms of just actual pace, they definitely found something from where they were in Newcastle.
Thursday seems like such a long time ago when Anton got pole, but like you said, the speed was there. Unfortunate that Anton was wiped out in that crash yesterday, but
yeah.
A shining light today, obviously, Will Davison's been quite quick towards the end of the weekend as well, so these guys are learning. Whereas in Newcastle, they were sort of couldn't really get the momentum they needed, but they were learning across the weekend and making their cars faster. That's what they need to be aiming for.
Indeed. Given the shallow lines, it's actually quite difficult when walking around the paddock to tell the difference between the DJR guys and the Ferrari guys. And at the moment, there is a big sea of people out the back of particularly Will Davison pit out the back of his garage at the moment. So we'll head next door and be just about ready to wrap this up as we arrive out the back of Red Bull, walking past Zane Goddard. G'day, Zane. He's repping his team gear. And we'll see if we can find anyone down here at 888. But I can see the race winner, actually, so that's quite handy. Because we haven't actually mentioned him yet. But how good for Brock Feeney. I don't know what it is about this guy, but about 6 months ago, something in him just clicked. From winning in Adelaide to like what he did at the 12-hour. He had some time away in Austria where he was doing the Red Bull training camp. And now he comes back a pole and a race win. So he's a changed man. For a driver in his second year, he is up and about.
Still 20 years old, Chad. It's hard to believe Incredible. That he's almost robotic-like in the way that he operates, not only in racecraft but one lap pace. And he was always self-critical as well. We saw yesterday the qualifying didn't go to plan the first one, backed it up, got pole straight away. But to race the way he did today, not think about all the other convergence strategies, to put on a performance like that, not make a mistake, get his second career win, I think there are more wins coming for Brock.
Yeah, you get that feeling. All right, let's see if we can quickly dive in and say g'day around the back of the 888 booms. Is having a chat to Owen Kelly at the moment. G'day, Owen. What's going on, brother? Just wanted to quickly get a word off Brock for the podcast. Cool to see that man back down in the supercars paddock as well. Hey, mate, well done. Congratulations. Standing on a Formula One podium on the top step, no less. Can you just tell me, please, what that's like?
It's pretty bloody cool, I'll tell you that. You obviously dreamt of standing up there for many years and hear the national anthem as well, and to have my dad up there was pretty awesome. So, very cool moment.
I saw your mum at the back and she had a big smile on her face as well. Who made the call or allowed your dad to get up there with you? What's it like sharing a podium with your dad?
Yeah, I don't know. I got out of the car and mum was there and I was like, oh my, where's dad? Because I saw him walking down the pit lane and I thought it'd be this man getting up on there. But and then I'm like, where's dad? And they're like, oh, he's up there. And so it was pretty cool to get up there and share the podium with him. I mean, just thanks to the team for letting him get up and do that.
Brock, we were saying before how you've almost become almost robotic in the way that you're just executing everything, but also self-critical as well is an important trait for a driver to have. Yesterday in qualifying, the first one didn't go to plan. Second one, you just clicked and it came to plan. So can you sort of detail what it's like to sit in the car, have that mindset shift?
I suppose the first one was pretty simple. Just got caught out by a red flag on those slicks at the end. But, I was so fired up. I mean, coming into this weekend, I was pretty keen to get a good result. I mean, obviously a lot of stuff happened in the past few weeks and it's only fuel to the fire, so to get out there and have a good weekend like we've had has been good. And as I said, we're just continuing this trend, you know, where we've been right in the mix all year in every race, so it's an awesome feeling to have. I believed it, but it's happening at the moment, so that's really good.
All right, mate, well done. We'll let you get back to chatting with some friends down here at the back of the Red Bull garages. Brock Finney winning here on Grand Prix Sunday. What a special moment that is for him. And he's just come so far in such a short amount of time. So there you go. That is from one end of pit lane to the other. A glorious Grand Prix Sunday. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for listening into the show. I did notice off the back of Newcastle, we had quite a few people popping up going, where's the podcast? Because it was about 2 days late on that one. And it's always a good sign that people are listening. So, Paves, it's good to know that they're out there. And we'll continue doing this after every event that we can throughout the course of the year. And when there's this much to talk about, it's very hard to fit it inside 30 minutes.
And we'll see you all in Perth.
Thank you, guys, for listening. And we'll catch you next time.